This cassette colloquia has been supplied with a brief supplemental text covering the available highlights at the session presentations.
This afternoon, we're going to present a survey of integrated circuits in consumer applications. I'm Frank Stein from the Delco Radio Division of General Motors, chairman and organizer of this session. The first area has to do with household appliances. The second area is automobile radios. The third area is television circuits and color TV in particular. Our first speaker today is Carl Wellman, who is manager of appliance projects at General Electric Company in Electronics Park in Syracuse. And his topic is integrate for household appliances after careful value study. Mr. Wellman.
Integrated circuits will play a growing role in the household appliance industry. The trend of this technology will be accelerated as both the product and the production facility are considered from a systems viewpoint. The integrated circuit may be considered as a subsystem with certain unique qualities which represent value not attainable in any other way. This discussion will attempt to establish some guidelines and to enable non-electronic manufacturers to make timely decisions on integration. First, it is desirable to define a few terms and at the same time explore the circuit characteristics. The term integrated circuit, as used here, refers to a family of circuits composed of monolithic, thin film, thick film, and the combination of these yielding hybrids. These circuits are characterized by having their elements fabricated simultaneously in a series of progressive controlled process steps. This provides a total circuit which has a minimum labor content, thus minimum opportunity for human error to creep in. The circuit can be then tested and classified by automatic computerized test equipment at high speed and with a further reduction in the possibility of human error. The finished product can then be treated as a tested subsystem ready for assembly in the total system. The heart of the integrated circuit technology is the monolithic or silicon integrated circuit. A wide variety of active and passive devices can be diffused into an extremely small area of a silicon wafer. Transistors, diodes, silicon bilateral switches, low voltage SCRs, Zener diodes, resistors, and many other electronic devices can be fabricated in the wafer. The very small size per se is not of such importance to the appliance manufacturers as are the benefits which it makes possible. The close proximity of the active elements on the chip, their simultaneous fabrication, give closer matching of electrical and thermal characteristics than is possible with discrete circuitry. Unique circuit capabilities are made possible, such as multi-emitter transistors, closely matched differential amplifiers, and accurate current sources. The small size does have positive benefits, such as permitting many circuits per wafer to be processed at one time. The second technology in the family has already been mentioned as the interconnection on monolithic integrated circuits. Thin film circuits are fabricated by depositing the materials atom by atom, usually in a vacuum. Components can be monitored during deposition and close tolerances maintained on passive elements. Active devices or integrated circuit silicon chips can be mounted directly on the thin film circuit since the conductor spacings can be made compatible with chip geometries. A wide variety of substrates ranging from rigid to flexible are available to meet the varying application needs. Thick film technology, the passive circuitry is screened or printed as a massive deposition on rigid substrates, which are usually fired or baked to fuse them into stable components. Components using the same base materials are screened simultaneously on multiple substrates. After the last components are screened, the final firing cycle is completed. The substrates are separated into individual circuits. This technology is compatible with the higher voltages and power dissipations usually associated with appliance controls. Combination of thin film, thick film, monolithic, and discrete circuit elements fall into a category which is called hybrid circuits. This form of a system implementation permits the selection of characteristics of all circuit forms, including low tooling cost, the short tooling cycles, high power and voltage, operation with electrical isolation. With this brief background on circuit types and characteristics, the next step is to establish some guidelines for deciding which parts of the circuit can be incorporated in the integrated subsystem. What should be included when judging the value represented to the total business system? A logical first step in the equipment system analysis is to lay out a functional block diagram. The block diagram is most valuable if it's laid out for the ultimate product performance and a total product line structure. From the detailed blocks, establish guidelines for integratability. On the negative side, one or few components making up a system, a slow make break switch, are not necessarily good candidates for integration. Also on the negative side are certain components with many connections per element, large capacitors, inductors, and transformers which are not now compatible with integration. The positive side of such a comparison has multiple inputs or sensors, precision control, high operational speed, and here an important example might be making a decision to turn an appliance on or off at every half cycle of a power line frequency. Other positive factors are sequential operation, higher reliability, complex signal circuitry, logic functions, multiple features in a line where you're trying to build a product line structure, and the last item I'd like to call your attention to, particularly because it's a major incentive to integrate, and that is the simplification of appliance assembly. Those circuits which are candidates for integration will have one or more of the characteristics listed under the incentive to integrate column. Where integrated circuits are found to have functional benefits, all too frequently we find that they're judged solely on the economic basis of the sum of their costs of their individual parts, or the individual parts which they replace. The total cost of any design is more than this. Engineering and manufacturing costs contribute to the business expense just as material and labor costs. Looking first at engineering, the total skill and manpower levels can be kept lower than that required for a total control development program by using off-the-shelf control functions in IC form. Off-the-shelf control functions have their reliability data collected on a broad usage basis. Where electronic controls provide the best performance, it's often possible to bypass the discrete circuit development entirely, thus increasing the probability of a longer design life. Changing government radio frequency interference and safety specifications are often most easily met by the speed provided by ICs. The low incremental cost of additional devices in monolithic or thick film, thin film configurations allow the opportunity to build a complete feature line with low incremental cost for each added feature. One last consideration while talking about engineering is the application engineer himself. Most reputable integrated circuits manufacturers have an application engineering staff. The IC application engineer is frequently overlooked in assessing the value available through the incorporation of integrated circuits into a product design. The application engineering service represents a significant value at all phases of development and production, from the block diagram decisions to the outgoing product testing. Manufacturing offers a even greater opportunity for weighing values than does the engineering. Examples of values to be weighed when considering the benefits of purchased integrated circuits include valuable manufacturing space freed for the assembly of other components and other equipments, reduction in specialized factory training and the subsequent retraining when there is labor turnover. A reduction in quality costs by the use of pre-tested subsystems, thus reducing the in-process quality inspection steps. Rapid and accurate calibration using electronic test equipment with visual readouts and printouts for production control. And finally, the inventory and stock logistics costs are reduced due simply to the reduction in the number of components which must be stocked. When discussing values to be weighed, two less tangible values should be considered. Reduction in size of the functional subsystem components through integration gives a product new styling freedom. Coupled closely with styling is the manufacturer's image. Here, an image can be developed as being a leader in the field, thus providing products less apt to be obsoleted by worldwide competition. And to better understand the process of integration, I'd like to go through several of these systems to illustrate the transition from specification to various levels of integration. Temperature control, we're controlling the temperature of an electric oven. Performance required for this oven would be limiting temperature variations to plus or minus a degree F, say at the sensor, a minimum overshoot on warm-up using a large heating element. The heating element would be a Calrod sheath heater, which has significant thermal energy storage, and thus the thermal time constants in the system must be carefully considered, including the time constants of the sensor. Chosen to implement this are a proportional generator, of course a temperature set, and a comparison network which compares the sensor temperature against the set temperature, a reference, a keep warm switch which adds an extra function, a trigger pulse generator for gating a power switch, a zero crossing, and of course the heater and the transfer system characteristic. Just a word on the zero crossing detector. Here we're choosing the speed of the integrated circuit to make a decision within 70 microseconds of the zero crossing so that we minimize the radio frequency interference in a consumer application. The capacitors and the external set and sensing elements are discrete form. First of all, due to the fact that the capacitors are large and are not adaptable to integration, and the need for remotely mounting the set and the sensing functions. Speed control system. We're controlling the speed of a motor by measuring its speed with a tachometer and then taking that frequency and developing a pedestal and comparing that against a ramp with a known gain response characteristic. We've chosen to have a reference which we can put a step change into, and since it's an inductive device, we've elected to have a lockout gate which will prevent triggering the power switch until the current through the power switch has reached a zero point. This being a phase control system, we have also added an RFI filter block, since the time constant of this system is not compatible with the large number of cycles which would be omitted in zero voltage switching techniques. Monolithic phase control circuit and includes the reference voltage divider, a comparator, the pedestal level generator, and a lockout gate, and of course a DC power supply. And this actually is a regulated DC power supply. The detector circuit can be incorporated either as a discrete circuit or as a hybrid circuit. It's also compatible with integration directly into a monolithic form. Depending on the volume and the importance placed on making interconnections in the end application. Again, the triac power switch and the line dropping resistor are discrete components or hybrid components because of the power and voltage which must be handled. The radio frequency interference filter, known as a discrete unit due to the fact that it falls into that non-integrable inductors and larger capacitors. An example of implementation of one functional block diagram of a system with a general purpose monolithic integrated circuit is exemplified by touch control using a precision threshold detector circuit with built-in hysteresis. This function block is available as a GEPA 494. Variations of this circuit will switch with 10 megohms or 100 picofarad input impedance changes. The precision threshold circuit is well compensated over working temperature ranges. Appliance function blocks, which can be filled by this circuit, include level detectors, dryness sensors, time delays, and many other having to do with precision references. The discussion of the foregoing subsystems leads to an examination of values which can be attributed to custom integrated circuits and to standard circuits. Each circuit has merit. The custom integrated circuit provides unique functional combinations in both monolithic and hybrid technologies. Greater freedom of circuit design through lower incremental costs for additional added circuit elements offers the opportunity to optimize a subsystem to a level of complexity which can provide a full product line structure with a long life expectancy for the design. Custom circuits can reduce the number of physical interconnection requirements and can be tailored in size to fit the physical space allowable in the final equipment. One consideration, and that's generally a major one, is the alternate sources of supply to maintain production in the event of the catastrophe. These are usually handled by allowing either adequate space in the equipment for other circuit implementations or maintaining a specific stock level. The catalog circuits are generally developed with the intention of maximizing application breadth. Because of the usefulness of these circuits in varying applications, reliability and application data are collected over a wide range of use conditions. Standard integrated circuits frequently have second source suppliers or alternate interchangeable approaches, which is generally a requirement for high volume production. The multiplicity of customers spreads the tooling over a broad base. Supplementary peripheral circuits have already been developed for a number of general catalog application integrated circuits, which will meet custom requirements for hybrid or pitted circuit implementation, resulting in a large measure of application flexibility. Integrated circuit manufacturers have made considerable progress in shortening the time cycle needed to deliver custom integrated circuits. For monolithic integrated circuits, characterized standard building blocks can be combined into a custom circuit. This process is now speeded by the use of computer-aided design. In certain instances, off-the-shelf circuits can be adapted by changing the metal interconnection pattern. Proof of design for performance and its compatibility with the integration process is frequently accomplished through breadboard chips. These chips contain a number of different active and passive elements, and by interconnecting the substrates, a single monolithic structure can be nearly duplicated. This method of evaluation increases confidence and reduces the lead time and the cost involved in producing the final circuit. In summary, is it integratable? The first step is to functionally block out the system being considered for an integrated subsystem and determine the performance required to meet the system goals. Then, preferably working with a reputable integrated circuit manufacturer, determine the circuit complexity which can be implemented in a given package. Next, establish economic values on the basis of total impact on the business. Establish realistic values. These values will undoubtedly vary with each appliance manufacturer, but they will represent the worth of this technology in your application. And to help determine the degree which you will want to proceed toward custom designs or use established standard approaches. Integrate after careful value study. I would like to acknowledge the help Bill Gutswater and Keith Howell gave in preparing this paper. Are there any questions? The question was costs involved in a custom circuit development. And I think this could best be handled on a complexity basis in that the costs involved are a function of the number of masks and the time spent in development, so on. And this is something which really has to be worked out on an individual application. I don't think we can develop a general guideline here for that cost. I would say, basically, you're talking about anything from a few thousand dollars for a very simple circuit to many thousand for a very complex. It's hard to put a number on this. The question was, could capacitance values be reduced in size and incorporated in the chip in monolithic form? And I think the answer to this is there are techniques now which will allow multiplication of capacitance values. The capacitance values run in the order of half to a picofarad per square mil, so that they are fairly expensive in terms of large value capacitors now. But through Miller multiplication, one can get somewhat larger capacitors. I don't know of any techniques at this point in time which will allow us to consider microfarads capacitance. The question here, who initiates the development project for integrated circuits in appliances? And certainly this starts on both sides. We hope by doing some active presentation of our capabilities that it will stimulate interest in the appliance manufacturers. And likewise, we also know that there's an awful lot of publicity given to new developments in the field, and we feel that this will have some carry-through advertising value, which will stimulate manufacturers to contact integrated circuit makers.
Thank Mr. Wellman for a very excellent talk. I'd like to point out that each of the speakers has very generously consented to try to speak for the industry rather than representing the company who employs him. This is a survey presentation today, and we're trying to cover the industries, but of course, each speaker knows his own work and his own company best, so it probably reflects a little bit more than the industry. Our second speaker today, now that Carl has laid down the definitions of the various types of monolithic and integrated circuits that will be used, we'll talk about the integrated circuit in the automobile radio. He is Thomas E. Endress, who is a project director of radio design. He's employed by Delco Radio Corporation of General Motors in Kokomo, Indiana. Subject, integrated circuits in the automobile radio.
Thank you, Dr. Stein. I'd first like to thank the controllers for a captive audience. Consumers have a continuing demand for increased reliability, performance, and safety, and the auto radio is not exempt. Safety in this case means reduced mass and size, which implies greater component density. The introduction of integrated circuits is one method of obtaining this necessary density. ICs are also advantageous when the cost of assembling a discrete circuit is high in relation to component costs. For these reasons, and to further improve reliability and performance, industry began 4 years ago to apply its IC capability to the auto radio. It must be kept in mind that an integrated circuit introduced into the auto radio faces a harsh environment with temperature variations in excess of minus 25 degrees F to 140 degrees F. The voltage supply to the auto radio also has excessive noise superimposed on a DC level that varies from 10 volts to 16 volts. An IC must perform reliably under these environmental extremes with less than a 10% performance degradation. With thin-film integrated circuits, high-quality passive components can be obtained. Capacitors with dissipation factors of 0.001 and resistors of 0.01%. These components also have controllable temperature coefficients and excellent long-term stability. However, this degree of quality cannot be fully utilized in an aura radio. With present designs, this degree of accuracy and stability is not necessary. Also, thin film deposition by evaporation or sputtering involves expensive equipment along with a high labor content because the process cycles and substrate handling are difficult to automate. Because thin films have the highest initial setup cost and the inability to effectively use its advantages, thin film integrated circuits are not dominant in the auto radio. Developments in thick film hybrids, however, which have the lowest initial cost investment, appear to be well suited to the auto radio. Although most capacitors cannot be formed as they can be on thin films, capacitor chips may be added to the substrate. Thick film resistors are also low in precision, but may be intentionally printed to a low value and later automatically functionally adjusted with a laser beam or simple abrasion to a higher desired value. This minimizes the low precision handicap and yields accurate resistors with stability that is perfectly acceptable to the auto radio. Semiconductors can also be added to a thick film hybrid with conventional wire bonding and soldering techniques, while labor-saving processes such as flip chip bonding are being developed. Thick film hybrids can also be nearly designed as schematic copies of existing circuits, minimizing the need for a complete redesign in order to use this type of IC. Thick film hybrids are also more readily automated than the other IC types because of relatively simple equipment that is used, such as screen transfers and furnaces. Automatic processing and handling can be obtained for a large number of ICs if they have a common substrate size. This prompted the establishment of a common substrate for all hybrids, namely 1.96 inches by 0.73 inches by 0.35 inches. A polycarbonate plastic cap is used over this 95% alumina substrate because it is proven to be more reliable than that of conformal coating, which tends to sever transistor wire bonds during extended temperature cycling tests. The fact that these film hybrids can easily be processed and nearly designed as schematic copies of existing circuits are advantages not enjoyed with monolithic integrated circuits. Monolithic integrated circuits necessitate a long development period and high initial investment cost, but transistors, diodes, resistors, and some capacitors can all be produced within the monolithic structure. The maximum practical capacitor value is only in the order of 25 picofarads because of a relatively large area required to produce this value. The area required to produce a 15 picofarad capacitor could alternatively be used for a 10 k-ohm resistor or two transistors. There is an obvious advantage, therefore, because of this capacitor limitation and using amplifiers that can be direct coupled, such as differential amplifiers. Differential amplifiers also have performance advantages that can be capitalized upon, such as common mode rejection. Undesirable signals that appear in the supply line, and it must be kept in mind that the supply to an auto radio is extremely noisy, are rejected. These signals do not appear in the output because they are common to both transistors and only the difference is amplified. Monolithic integrated circuits therefore have definite performance advantages as well as the highest component density, but yield becomes a major consideration because of the large number of individual operations required. For example, if each operation has a 99% yield, the overall yield for 50 operations is 61%. But if the individual yield drops to 98%, the overall yield plunges to 37%. Before the advantages of any IC type may be introduced into an auto radio, thought must be directed towards system division and system complexity. As the complexity of the system increases, design, manufacturing, and pre-testing also increase in difficulty. This complexity may be reduced by employing a modular subsystem approach, wherein modules are nearly complete systems in themselves, not dependent upon controls from other subsystems. Keeping interdependence of modular integrated circuits to a minimum has definite advantages in pre-testing and servicing, and therefore is a much desired goal. When considering integrated circuit complexity and system division, all types of receivers must be considered. The simple AM receiver, which is the simplest and highest volume receiver, and also the Wunderbar stereo radio, which is one of the most complex receivers. A word of explanation is due here. The Wunderbar stereo radio is a signal-seeking tuner which, if so directed by the listener, will search for stereo stations only. Although initial development of an IC would naturally be directed towards the simple high-volume receiver, more complicated systems must be considered in the initial development. An AM/RF module, for example, should, if at all possible, have the provisions for the Wunderbar sensitivity input. That is, the design of a simple basic function must have provisions for more complex functions. This eliminates later redesign and yields a module which can be a standard subsystem on all receivers. Thus, future developments must be considered in the design of a simple basic function. The first integrated circuit that was introduced into production was a thick film hybrid audio module. The audio module circuit is a direct coupled three-stage audio amplifier using DC feedback for temperature stability. The IC contains the pre-driver and driver stages, but the final power transistor is on a separate conductor for thermal reasons.
This is the end of side A. To continue, turn your cassette over to side B.